Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We've been in the book of Genesis for some time now, and you remember, if we back up, really, God sends a promise in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve had their fall, a redeemer, one that would smite the head of Satan. And we trace that line right on through to Abraham in chapter 12, how God has said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to many, many nations. You keep with that idea, we find that Abraham has Isaac and Isaac has Jacob. In chapter 28, Jacob has a time or a meeting with God, and his life has changed forevermore. Matter of fact, chapter 32, I believe it is, his name has changed to Israel. And then we find that in chapter 30 that he has 11 sons. There's one more that will come soon. And one of those sons is the idea of a redeemer. And so we find that God's going to use this tribe or these sons to do great things. One of those sons' name is Joseph, and we find in chapter 37, he's the guy with the coat of many colors. And Joseph's going to be a great guy, but he's going to have a hard, hard life. Matter of fact, when you get to chapter 40, we find that he goes from a well-favored son to in the pit being sold and now finds himself in Egypt. And we last that last week with this idea that he's been in prison for 2 full years waiting for something to take place. He's been a prisoner, a servant in Egypt now for almost 13 years. And so we'll pick up there and read out of the Word of God in Genesis chapter 41. And it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, that's cows, and fat flesh, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed cows did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, the 7 thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in the ward, and the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream did he interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him out hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiments and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard of thee, saying that thou art and can't understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for your power and might and how you deliver in great situations, how you rescue us and set us upon that place that we need to be. And so, Lord, today, even as you did Joseph, that you would do that for us, that you would work those things in our life, the good and the bad, the hardships and the trials, that we may simply do your good will and be a servant of yours and proclaim your goodness to others. And so, Lord, today, I pray that you'd move us, that you would do those things and convict us, that we may be your people at all the times. Thank you again for your promise that when your word is read, it will come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have heard about the husband and wife. They've been shopping for about 3 or 4 hours. The wife looks around and says, where'd he go? And so she gets on the phone and says, where are you at? He said, honey, do you remember that little jewelry store that we went into that had that diamond necklace that you love so much? But I just didn't have enough money to buy it for you. And I said, one day I'm going to buy that for you. She said, oh, yes, I remember that store. He said, well, I'm right next door in the hunting and fishing store right next to it. Sometimes in life we get an up and a down all at the same time. And I think when you look at Joseph's life, he was a man just like that. All through his life, he had been built up, and then all through his life, he had been knocked down. And it's important for us to recognize how good God is, how God has a plan. Matter of fact, I like Isaiah 55:9. It says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." God has a plan for us to bring us to a point that we may serve him and cause others to know him. And so I want to bring a few things out of this passage that really should speak to our lives and how we should be found faithful no matter the situation we find ourselves in. First, there's Joseph and his patience. Joseph and his patience. And we speak about patience many times, and maybe your mind automatically goes to the character of Job and how Job was a man of great patience. But maybe we all should think about the patience of Joseph. You know about patience. I preached many times about this. There's a little saying that goes like this: patience is a virtue, possessed if you can, found seldom in a woman, but never in a man. Well, that's not true. Patience is something that we can all have and achieve. Somebody else said this, which I like: patience is what you have when there are too many witnesses. Amen. But really, patience is waiting for the right time in the right place to receive the best outcome. Let me say that again. Patience is waiting for the right time and right place to receive the best outcome. God uses circumstances in our life to shape those things by him to bring us to a point that we may be useful for the kingdom of God. And I think the Apostle Paul recognized that in his life with many ups and downs. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I have learned, he says, to be content. And so I want you to just take a look back, as we've covered this already, but I think it's needful to understand the life of Joseph. First, look at his disappointments. Look at his disappointments. If you back up to chapter 37 through 40, we recognize some terrible things in life. Yes, he was a favored child of his father. He was loved more by his father than the rest of his brothers, and yet we find that his brothers throw him in a pit not long after that. Sold into slavery, and then they told his father he was torn by some beast. He worked his way to the top in Potiphar's house, only to be lied about and cast into prison. Worked his way to the top of the prison, only to be forgotten for the next 2 years. And so we find that Joseph is a man full of disappointments, waiting on the Lord to deliver. And yes, those last 2 years, when he said, "Remember me," day one, day two, day three, day four passed with no help. And finally, weeks turned to months, and months turned to years. There he is in prison now for the last 2 years. So the question is, how did Joseph respond to the troubles and trials? And so we recognize that, we'll see that, but maybe a better question is, how do we handle disappointments? How do we handle loss? How do we handle hurt? How do we handle unmet expectations? And so we should recognize and understand that God wants us to respond to those situations rather than react. Do you know when you react, reaction when something bad happens is a natural instinct. It is based on who we are, but a response to those things is a supernatural reaction. God wants us to simply do it his way. And you may be thinking, "Well, you just don't understand what I've been through." I understand. I do not. I can tell you this, you are not alone. There is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 says that, "And this thing that has been, and it is, shall be, and there which is done shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun." Let me tell you this, your problem is not unique, it is just unique to you. Let me say that again, your problem is not unique, it is just unique to you and how you deal with that. Life is full of disappointments, sometimes one after the other. But how you deal with your disappointments really shows who you are. Some unknown person said this: "Man's disappointments are God's divine appointments." Man's disappointments are God's divine appointments. And we know, based on the Word of God, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm telling you, Joseph had many disappointments. But now notice this. Look at his discovery. Look what he learns through those things. In the past 13 years, he has learned humility. You recognize when he's going to stand before Pharaoh in verse 16, he's going to say, "It is not in me." I'm sure there was a desire to say, "Look at me and what I can do." Secondly, he learned how to be an administrator in his life. He had been an administrator in Potiphar's house and now in the king's prison. God was developing him in those situations that maybe he did not like, but were useful to him. He had developed the gift that God had placed in his life. And by the way, we're going to find in our lives that we may be in a situation today that God is using to develop us to do something great for the kingdom of God. We may not like the situation, but God has a plan for that. He had gained perspective. He learned to see things from different angles. He had learned to understand how people felt when they were wrongly accused. And then lastly, he had learned patience, as we'd already mentioned. Perhaps the hardest thing to do is to wait on the Lord and to have patience for him to act. But I'm telling you, there's something great when we trust Christ, when we have patience, when we simply allow him to work in our life. James chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says this, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hopes make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Romans 15, 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "In all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, and necessities, and distress." And then finally, Revelation chapter 14, 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints, that they keep the commands of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." I'm telling you, you may be in trouble today, but be patient. Wait on the Lord. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you, we all have issues. Maybe it's your marriage today. Have hope, trust in the Lord. Maybe it's your career, maybe it's your family, maybe it's a health issue. But I know this, when we wait upon the Lord, how good it is. Isaiah chapter 40 speaks about that, our memory verse for this week. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The psalmist also said in chapter 27, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait on the Lord, verse 34 says, "And keep his ways, and he shall exalt thee and inherit the land." We must wait on him. Joseph waiting for 13 years, and yet God is fixing to show up and show out. 13 years he has waited for the Lord to release him and unloose him, but God surely will. He has been waiting patiently, and maybe you're today waiting patiently for God to show up. I'm telling you, he has a plan. Trust in him. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Not just Joseph and his patience, but now Pharaoh and his problem. Pharaoh and his problem. Verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." So we're introduced to a new character. This is Pharaoh. Let me just tell you, Pharaoh was a man just like everyone else, Pharaoh the man. We don't know exactly which one this was, Susanoret maybe, or one of the high-cost pharaohs. Whatever the case, we do know this, that he was not a God-fearer. He worshipped the sun. He worshipped different things. He worshipped the Nile. He worshipped animals. But God's going to use him as an authorized prophet. An authorized prophet. Matter of fact, Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 says this, "Now hear my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known in him in a vision. I will speak unto him in a dream." Now it may be seen odd because he is an ungodly man and he's going to have these dreams that are going to be used by God, but that's okay. We tend to think about godly people like Jacob and Joseph and Solomon and Daniel dreaming great dreams to save the world. But there's also people in the Bible that were not good, like Abimelech and King Nebuchadnezzar and Pilate's wife and Laban, that dreamed dreams that helped others. But God is going to use him to do something great, even though he was not a godly man. The Lord will lay on his heart all kind of people to give them understanding and to warn them or to bless them or to give an understanding to certain situations. Yes, he will be used as an authorized prophet. But really, he was a man of authority, and that's why God's going to speak to him. God's going to reveal himself to that one that could get the job done. He will be joined by Joseph and come alongside, and between the two, the world will be saved. So let me remind you, if God is speaking to you about some great thing, and maybe there's something that God's laid on your heart, there's something that God's going to open the door, maybe not in a dream, in a vision, but just a heart tug. If God has laid that on your heart, like a children's ministry or a college ministry or a building ministry, maybe God's saying, "You are the one that I want to use to be involved to do something great." We're all people just like Pharaoh. There's none better, none worse. And God is willing to use all kinds of people to get his will done. So we go from Pharaoh the man to Pharaoh's message. And this is where it kind of gets interesting. He will have an unusual message that starts with seven cows. When you read verse 2, it says, "And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored and kind and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, ill-favored and lean-fleshed. They stood by the other cows on the brink of the river, and the ill-favored and lean-fleshed cows did eat the seven well-favored and fat-fleshed cows." And so Pharaoh awoke. And so what the story is, he's had two dreams, we'll see. And he dreams about seven big, beautiful cows. They go to the meadow, they eat. They're huge, they're slick and fancy. And all of a sudden, there's seven more cows, and the seven lean, gaunted, hungry-looking cows come and eat up the big, beautiful cows, and really you cannot even tell that the ill-favored cows have even eaten anything. And so then he dreams about the dream. There's 7 ears of corn, and then there's seven lean ears of corn, and the same thing happens. Two nights, two crazy dreams. Pharaoh awakes and says, "Hey, something's going on." Again, have you ever had a dream that seems so real? I think I told you a few times back that I've had some different kind of dreams. Sometimes I dream about spiders or snakes or alligators. And some of y'all give me a hard time about the alligators and dreaming how Florida's going to eat the Georgia Bulldog. I don't know. Maybe there are toothless alligators. Amen. I just don't know. But I do know this, that God does speak in mysterious ways. And here he speaks to Pharaoh. And he knows something is going on, but he does not know the situation. He does not know exactly what he needs to do. And so we go from the man to the message to the musing. Verse 8 says, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them the dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." He was troubled. It's tempeum, means he was stirred up. He knew something was gravely wrong. And so what does he do? He calls for all the wise men in Egypt. And we will find something interesting, that they could not interpret the dream. And so let me just take a side note just for a second. Maybe today there's something in your life that you know God has stirred up. Maybe there's some trouble. Maybe there's something that you need help with. I'm telling you, that's okay. And all of us at times have needed counseling. All of us at times have needed others to come alongside and speaking to us. But let me remind you the important thing. Make sure it is a God-fearer, one that loves the Lord, that speaks into your life. All those of Pharaoh's could not speak a word. Why? Because they did not know what needed to be said. But we're going to find little Joseph shows up and shines because he was a strong believer in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you, do you have troubles? Do you have problems? Seek the Lord, for he alone has the answer. Here's the third thing. Not just Joseph and his patience and Pharaoh and his problem, but now the Lord and his plan. The Lord and his plan. The troubled mind of Pharaoh will open a door for the plan of God to start again. The troubled mind of Pharaoh will open that door wide that Joseph may enter in. And so I'm telling you, the great plan of God for Jacob's life will quickly start to gel. He has been in Egypt for all these many years, since he was 17 years old. We're going to find he's going to be 30 years old when he stands before Pharaoh. And so we find that God's plan will come to pass as he says. Look how it happens. First, there is a remembering of the wrong in verse 9. The remembering of the wrong. In verse 9 says, "And then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." So if you remember the story, the chief butler and the chief baker are cast into prison. Pharaoh can't figure out which one's trying to kill him. So he throws them in prison for a while to sort it all out. While they were in the prison, they both have dreams. And Joseph interprets their dreams. And their dreams come just true, as Joseph said. And Joseph said to the butler, "When you get back to Pharaoh, remind him and let me get out of jail. Send me out of this place. Remember me." And I'm sure he said, "I'll do that time I get out." Well, guess what? 2 years pass, and he had forgotten all about Joseph. And it seems in our life sometimes that we fail to be remembered by others. Sometimes others have promised us to help us along, and now we are stuck. I'm just reminded that God does not forget those that he loves, that he's always there for us. The sovereign hand of God is there, orchestrating the events to work things out for good. I've often wondered what happens if Joseph is let out of jail 2 years earlier. Maybe he would have left and gone home. Maybe he would have lost his life in the journey. Maybe he would have been released and settled back in Egypt. We don't know, but we do know this, that because he was in jail at the right time, right place, with the right people, God's going to use him mightily, and so he will for us. Do not miss the fact that God did not forget this young man. So there's the remembering of the wrongs, but secondly, there's the recognition of the solution, the recognition of the solution. And verse 12 says, and there was a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted unto us our dreams, each to according his dream did he interpret. I want you to see something about him. One, his heritage. He was a Hebrew. He was different than everybody else in that place. He was a Hebrew, a fear of God. And I'm telling you, in today's world, we ought to be a different people than others around us. We ought to be a God-fearing, Bible-believing people that stand on the word of truth. He was different, and so should we. Maybe not in some of the other things in life, but our life should be this idea that we serve a living God, and that makes us different. And so we find also his humbleness. Here he is in prison. And I'm sure in life he was not always this humble, because you look at the coat of many colors and he showed those off to his brothers. And this man Joseph also had dreams, and he talked to his brothers about how one day they would bow down and serve him. And yet now when he stands before Pharaoh in verse 16, he will say, it is not in me, God shall give. I'm sure when they rushed him out of prison that he would have temptation to say, hey, I've got to make a name for myself. I got to stand before Pharaoh and make him think I am valuable by my words. But instead of bringing honor to himself, he brings honor to the Lord above. He could have said, look at me, but instead he says, look at God. Our greatest testimony in this world is not about what we've done or what we've accomplished. It's about what God has done in us. Too many times we focus on ourselves and not nearly enough on the Lord. He says, God shall time and time and time again. And by the way, Joseph was not a preacher. He was not some spiritual leader. He was just a man that loved the Lord. He would say, it is not in me, it is the Lord. Joseph, in his humbleness, recognized the power of God and gave him due credit. The third thing, there's the remembering of the wrongs, the recognition, but now the revealing of the interpretation. Verse 25 says, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, and God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. You jump down to verse 28, says, this is the thing I've spoken to Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. You jump down to verse 32, says, for this dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Three different times basically said, God is about to do something. You better be ready. God is fixing to show up and do something that only God can do. And so he said, I'm going to bring a great famine for 7 years. But first, 7 years of great abundance. The land will have more than it's ever had. But then after that, the famine will be so bad that it will wipe all that out. And you may ask yourself, why in the world would God allow a famine like that to take place? Well, one, it may be just the natural order of things. Just like fires and floods and drought. God has built this world to go through cycles and systems, and so we recognize that. And maybe Joseph is the first long-range weather forecaster. I don't know, but we do know this. There's natural things in life. Maybe it's because he wants to expose the wrongs of his brothers. God says, we're going to let this play out because your brothers hated you, and I'm going to bring them back to you. Numbers 32:23, your sins shall find you out. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe to make good on the prophetic word that he had in chapter 37 when Joseph dreamed a dream and said, I'm going to be here and my brothers and mother and father will bow down and worship me. I'm not sure. Maybe it's to punish the land for the wickedness. They have served other gods. They've been a wicked, wicked nation Egypt had. And they were all about the Nile as God and the crocodiles and the sun. They worshiped other things. Maybe it's for the blessing of Israel. Because after this, Israel will be brought to the land, given the best in the land of Goshen. They will live abundantly for many years. But more than all that, let me tell you why. God wants to make himself known. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, God promised a redeemer, and that line goes all the way through this time. When all the people of Egypt will bow down and recognize there is one true God. They will understand the God of Joseph is the one that delivers like no other. God will make himself known. But Joseph doesn't stop there. If you remember the last point, not just the remembering and the recognition and the revealing, but now the request to act. And verse 32 says, "For the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let the appointed officers over the land, and let him take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seventh plenty of years. And let them gather all the food of those good years to come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in cities. And that food shall be a store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be to the land of Egypt, and the land shall not perish through the famine." And so God gave a revelation, and then he always brings us a point of decision. And I'm telling you, when God gives us knowledge, then he wants us to have wisdom to use that knowledge. And so I'm telling you, God brings things to our attention. God shows us things that need to take place, and we must follow through. Joseph didn't say, "Here's your message, see you, bye," but instead says, "God showed you this, we must do something with it." I'm reminded of what James says. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James reminds us that we get a word from God. It is the holy word. It is the word that changes things. But if we just read it, if we just look at it, if we just hear it and do nothing with it, man, the famine will hit our lives. Romans chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For not just the hearers of the word of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." And so we find that the word is given and they must do something with it. And by the way, that's what a sermon is. Sermon is not just giving you knowledge. A sermon is asking you to do something. So let me ask you today, has the Lord laid something on your heart, some understanding, something that you need to do? Is there something that the Lord has urged you to do and you have not done it? Why not today? Is there some action God has called you to do and yet you fail to act upon? Why not do what God's pleading you to do? Why not do that thing that God's showing you? It'll be more than just about you. It will change your life and the lives of others around you. Joseph said, "Appoint somebody and let this man be over this. This is a serious matter. Find somebody that has a heart for this and let them be found faithful." Pharaoh looked around and says, "We can't find anybody but you that be wise and knowledgeable. How about you?" I'm sure Joseph was surprised. I'm sure Joseph had no means of doing this. But God has a plan again to put him in power that he may do great things. So here's the last point. Not just Joseph and his patience, Pharaoh and his problem, the Lord and his plan, but now Joseph and his position. Joseph and his position. Notice his place in Egypt. Verse 37 says, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And don't miss that. A man in whom the Spirit of God is. By the way, all those magicians that came in before him, they had all kind of knowledge, but they did not have the Spirit of God. Verse 39, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." In one instance, Joseph goes from the pit to the palace. In 1 hour, Joseph goes from being in a dungeon to being at the very top of the heap. Joseph was a man greatly rewarded simply because he waited and trusted in the Lord. But not just for Joseph's sake. God had called him to raise up and save a multitude of people. Notice verse 53. "And the 7 years of plenteous that were in the land of Egypt were ended. And then the 7 years of dearth began to come according to Joseph as he had said. And the dearth was in all the land. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he says to you do." And so we find that God has raised him up. Just as he had those dreams in chapter 37 that he would be worshipped, or in other words, people would bow down, God has brought him through that to a place where people gave him honor and respect. He is in control of all the land of Egypt, the greatest nation on earth at that time. But not for just him. Notice the last thing, for his purpose in the world, his purpose in the world. this salvation for Joseph goes much further than just him. It goes much further than just Egypt. And let me remind you about your hurts and your blessings. They are more than just for you. Verse 57 says this, and all countries, let me say it again, and all countries came in Egypt to Joseph for to buy bread or to buy corn because the famine was so sore in all the lands. In God's divine plan, Joseph ministered more than just himself and immediately beyond even all the countries of this world. Chapter 42, 1 and 2 says, and when Jacob saw there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look upon one another? And he said, behold, I have heard there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us thence that we may live and not die. And so when we find this next chapter, not only does God save Egypt and the surrounding countries, but also God saves the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as they go down to Egypt to buy corn. We're going to find because of the waiting of Joseph on the hand of the Lord, because of his faithfulness, he is going to save the nation of Israel. Can you believe that Joseph has been used all those years in prison, all that time spent? Now God raised him up for a purpose, not just to save these four nations, but the very people of God, the nation of Israel that will produce one called Jesus the Messiah, that truly all the world would be blessed because of that. And you ask, well, that's nothing about me. I'm telling you, God raises up for a purpose. And you may think your life does not matter, and you may think my calling is not important, but I'm telling you, all you do will be for those that come behind you. So let me ask you, are you willing to trust the sovereign hand of God? Will you believe in the promise of Romans 8:28, that is that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to a purpose? In other words, everything in God's plan will orchestrate for good. Will you live with the attitude of hope, even in the moments of hopelessness? Will you let your life be used to the point that you will point others to Christ? Joseph did, and the end results were evident. The world will be changed for good. And it all starts with a commitment to follow the Lord, to trust His word, to obey His will. I wonder today, will you look at your life and say, God will use me. God desires to use me if I will just do what He says. I wonder what God's calling you to do this morning. I don't know your heart. I don't know your dreams. I don't know that much about you. But I do know this. There's a God in heaven that has a plan. And He wants you to take a step of faith to follow Him. He wants you to do what He's called you to do. And when you do, yes, it will change the world around you. I read this last week. I'm going to read it again. Trust Him when dark doubts surround thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him. He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. That's the invitation this morning. God's calling. I wonder what you will do with that call. Will you respond? Will you just simply sit there? Will you say it's somebody else's job? Will you turn away? Or will you say yes to the thing that God's called you to? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes just for a moment. I wonder what Joseph thought when he was called from that prison. I wonder if he recognized God was fixing to use him in a great way. The Bible doesn't declare everything, but I do know this. He was always faithful to point others to the Lord. He was always faithful to let God shine through. And that what should be our actions this morning. If you're here, if there's something God's calling you, let your actions shine forth that others may know how good God is. Maybe today it's prayer, simply this altar. Maybe today God's called you to be saved. Let this be your first step. Say yes to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here today and it's church membership and God's saying, yes, I want you in this place. Walk that aisle this morning and say, Brother Paul, I want to be a part of this church. Maybe you need to go across the aisle to somebody and make things right. Maybe there's somebody at work that you need to get right with. God's placed it on your life today. Whatever it is, in the trials and hardships, in the blessings of life, make sure God gets the glory and honor. do things that will honor the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all these things. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph and his trust in you and his waiting upon you. Lord, I pray for that same thing in our life. Lord, we don't pray for patience many times because we're fearful of what it may bring. But your word tells us it brings something good. So, Lord, today we pray that we be strong, that we wait upon you, we do your good will, and that we'd act in faith when you call us to. Let that be the invitation today, Lord, that you would convict us to step out and do those things that you want. We give you all the praise for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.